You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, it was announced that Christopher Luxon, MP for Botany, is the new leader of the National Party, and Nicola Willis has been elected as deputy leader. The somewhat sudden leadership vote came after Judith Collins was ousted from the leadership position last week by a vote of no confidence from the National Party caucus. The National Party has undoubtedly been looking for a major rebrand for quite some time. Since 2018, all while in opposition to Jacinda Ardern's Labour-led governments, National has cycled through four different leaders. In February 2018, Simon Bridges took over from Bill English and held the leadership role until early 2020. It was then that Bridges was rolled by somewhat unknown National MP for Bay of Plenty, Todd Muller. This was due to the party dipping dramatically in the polls as the pandemic began to take hold across the world. Muller only held the position for 53 days, the shortest serving leader in New Zealand's parliamentary history, and stepped down due to mental health reasons. Then Judith Collins took over, an infamous politician in the National Party who has never been afraid to voice her opinions. Collins had the position for almost a year and a half until last week. Now the question is, will Luxon and Willis be what the party needs to revitalise their brand and policies to bring back those all-important voters? Since the beginning of the year, the 95BFM news team has spoken to Christopher Luxon as part of our weekly National Party catch-up on the Friday Wire, and Noah Ferguson-Dudding has been conducting the interviews. There have always been whispers around Luxon being the next leader of the National Party, so of course Noah had to ask him about it throughout this time. These clips we're about to play are snippets from interviews Luxon had with Noah spanning from March 2021 to November 2021.
Since you entered politics, there has been a lot of speculation that you may be a front runner for the next National Party leader. Do you have a desire to be leader of the National Party at some point?
From my point of view, it's really just taking it day by day, and that's how I've managed my career thus far, is just actually just taking each step as it comes. And for me, the first thing, as I said, I've just got a lot to learn, and I'm in year nine. There's a lot of more experienced prefects around me, and I'm just learning from everybody, and that's really my focus, isn't it?
So on Wednesday, Judith Collins asked the media to stop speculating about future leadership bids in the National Party, particularly relating to Simon Bridges and you.
There's a classic case where a journalist wrote a story, a speculative story, that had no basis of truth to it, and everyone then picked up and ran with it as a consequence. But the bottom line is, I'm not contesting the leadership. I've actually just been in Parliament, if everyone's watched it, just for the last 3 to 4 or 5 months, and I've got an awful lot to learn, and that's what I'm focused on. So I actually think our team in the National Party under Judith Collins is doing a great job leading a party that, you know, after an electoral loss that was very significant, is pulling this team together very well.
Does that count as a promotion for you then? If you're getting more portfolio, are you moving up in the National Party?
Well, I don't think so. I think we've all stayed the same official rankings or whatever they call them. But to be honest, that doesn't really mean a lot. It's just more about sort of where you think you can make the biggest contribution.
Another part of the polls is the preferred prime minister bit. Why do you think you're always included in these questions about preferred prime minister? There's generally Jacinda Ardern, Judith Collins, David Seymour, and then sometimes you get Simon Bridges or John Key. But you're pretty consistently in there. Why do you think that is?
As I've said before, you know, I've been in Parliament now, 10 months, and you know,
so why do you think you're included in preferred prime minister polls after
only? Oh, look, I don't know, and I don't really think about it. You know, really what I'm focused on is just doing my job and learning the skills that I've got to learn in a new career.
And in our first interview, I asked the classic Christopher Luxon question, do you want to be leader at some point? And I got a bit of a vague answer. For old time's sake, I'll ask again, just because I won't be able to ask again for a while. Yes or no, would you like to be leader of the National Party at some point?
No, I'm very focused
on
doing
what I'm doing.
So you
wouldn't like to be leader of the National Party at any point?
I'm just focused on what I'm doing. And
cool.
As I said, I'm one of those people that do it day by day, job by job,
yep.
And that's what I'm trying to do.
I'll save this clip and come back to it in 5 or 10 years. We'll see how it's aged.
That final snippet there was from Noah's last interview with Luxon on November 12th. Ironically, that interview has not aged 5 to 10 years, but rather a mere 18 days. Luxon is already the leader of the National Party. This morning, I spoke to Associate Professor in Politics and International Relations at the University of Auckland, Jennifer Lees Marshmont, about the new National Party leadership team. Jennifer explains who Luxon is and what her thoughts are on the quote-unquote liberal pairing of Luxon and Willis. We discuss whether this team will be what the National Party needs to close the revolving door of party leaders and regain public support. Yesterday, it was announced that Christopher Luxon has taken over the leadership of the National Party and Nicola Willis will be his deputy. Let's start with the big question for a lot of people, I think. Who is Christopher Luxon?
Well, he's a new politician. He's been in Parliament less than a year. So in that respect, he's very inexperienced and unknown, but he has held senior leadership positions, both in the US and companies there and in New Zealand in this country. So he has a lot of business leadership experience, so in that respect brings transferable skills to the job, but he's got a lot of work to do to make sure that he understands the need to adapt those skills to the political environment and for us to get to know him. And one of the challenges for political branding as opposed to business branding is the person becomes part of the product. And so his own personal views and beliefs and family and the way he looks and the way he speaks, all of that kind of thing can end up being important.
What is your thoughts on this pairing of Christopher Luxon and Nicola Willis?
That was a smart move. First of all, it provides gender balance, and secondly, it provides ideological balance in the sense that Nicola Willis is a lot more liberal, social liberal, than Christopher Luxon. She also has a lot of political experience. She's not just been an MP, a politician, for a long time. She's also worked as an advisor to John Key and Bill English, so she's seen, you know, what Parliament is like, what parties are like. She's seen the inside of politics, so hopefully she can steer Christopher Luxon on what is different between politics and business and give a real, you know, sort of update in his skills because of that. But the real test or the real benefit that she could bring is actually providing balance in terms of political positions to make sure that they're able to represent a range of people and be responsive to the public in the way that John Key was.
Yeah, I want to touch on that liberal issue because that's something that's been brought up a lot and you're saying that's definitely coming from the Nicola Willis half of the team, that what she's bringing to it, because there has been a lot of discussion about that pairing being the most liberal. However, Luxon is against the decriminalisation of abortion and has said he's against the reformation of euthanasia law. Can he really be linked in with that liberal choice? Are people sort of forgetting that perhaps it does really sit with Nicola Willis and it's a balancing act they're going to have to play rather than them being equally as liberal, I guess?
It is a big balancing act, and that means ensuring that she gets the chance to speak and have influence. And one of the notable weaknesses in Christopher Luxon's first speech yesterday when he was elected leader was that he didn't like stand back for her to speak. You know, she didn't actually play a role other than standing there and smiling and looking supportive. I think she answered one question when asked directly. So she spoke for seconds rather than minutes. And so that's not a good sign. Like, if she's going to be useful to Christopher Luxon, she's actually got to play a role, a significant role, not just, you know, stand there adding to nice images. And that kind of relates to the whole rebranding idea, really. I mean, they've already tried to say, you know, they're turning a new page and this is going to be the new National Party, which has echoes of New Labour under Tony Blair in the UK in the 1990s to 2000s. But effective rebranding, which is what they need to do, it's absolutely, it's a totally smart move, but effective rebranding will be more than just a name change, such as New Labour or New Nationals. It will be accompanied by substantive product change. And so that's where Nicola Willis has got to be able to speak, both in private and within the party discussions and in public, to actually make sure that they really actually get a benefit from it. Otherwise, it's like having a good, you know, second product, but, you know, keeping it hidden from the shelf so nobody can see it.
They've tried to do the new national thing a few times over the last couple of years, and we've had new leaders and new leaders and new leaders, yeah. And now we're here, and this is supposedly the rebrand that they've been waiting for. I guess it's just waiting to see whether there actually will be a difference or whether we've just got two new figureheads.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's a bit easier for Christopher Luxon. He wasn't part of the Aoki government, unlike Bridges and Paula Bennett. And more time has passed, and the party's lost another election, so they might be more willing to be open to change, to necessary change. But he's still got to make sure he's not seen as, like, John Key number two, which I think he was fighting a bit against in speech yesterday, but still a definite risk because they're close personally and both businessmen. And he's also got to accompany this rebrand. I mean, they're clearly doing it very cognizantly. And straight away, you could see that the posts on Facebook and whatever were kind of trying to show a difference and departure for something new. But that's got to be backed up by new policy positions, new approaches. And ultimately, they've got to start reconnecting with target markets, not just traditional national voters they lost, but to win, they've got to get Labour voters and the people who voted for John Key and then maybe switched to Jacinda Ardern in 2017, not just 2020. They've got to be looking at those. And they're not always, you know, elite, rich, upper class, very successful business people and all men. And, you know, they might have such liberal views and they might also have a sense that things are not as good as they were. Or, and that's not just, you know, not good under Labour, but actually there were some things wrong with the previous national government in terms of them denying the housing crisis and so on. So they've really got to completely reposition themselves. That's what all successful rebranding exercises do, is they look at, take a long, hard look at themselves, identify their weaknesses, listen to the public and key target markets, and then they change in response. Now, rebranding isn't just a new title or the word new added or the new leader, and it's not just a slogan or a logo. It's actually fundamental reposition and redesign and of the political product. So they've got to change their policies and their positioning and their attitude if they want to make this successful.
Just to clarify what that needs to be, we need to see both Christopher Luxon and Nicola Willis at the forefront of the party and not just have Nicola Willis there as sort of a liberal token point.
Absolutely. Christopher Luxon's, you know, has not just had personal beliefs on certain issues like euthanasia and abortion. He's actually voted in a certain way as an MP.
Yes.
He's already actually taken a decision as a politician, which is not socially liberal, and that it could really, you know, already be, is a negative brand, a negative aspect for the new brand. So he's really, if he's going to be different, he's got to brand himself as all Labour does for a start, and also show that, you know, as a leader, he's going to act differently, because so far the record isn't looking good.
And if we don't know much about him, as you said right in the beginning, and we're having to very quickly get to know who this new leader is and what he stands for, if those votes that have existed in the past are sort of what people are holding on to, they're going to have to make a pretty quick change with their policies and making sure it's very clear what the new vision is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting thing. I was watching him on the news last night on Seven Sharp and The Project, and you could tell he'd been given certain lines, like to say that he was into DIY and water sports and country music. And yeah, the personal aspect is part of this, but actually the personal aspect is just a voter shortcut to find out what would he be like as a leader. What decisions would he take? Because one of the hard things is when people are making a decision about a prospective prime minister is they've got to figure out what they would do in the future based on what they know about them in the present and the past. And so those kind of personal stuff is a kind of a clue, but you can tell he picked kind of relatively safe things. But he's really got to, you know, they need more behaviour from him. And he's got to brand himself really quickly and really clearly. And I heard him say something about, you know, he wants to find solutions to problems. Well, so does everybody in that parliament.
And so that's the point of being a politician, is it not?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, everybody does. And just saying, well, you know, I can do that. It's not that easy in politics to find clear solutions that actually work and that you can get through parliament and that you can actually get delivered. And I'm just a little bit worried that he's a bit too naive in terms of understanding the different nature of politics. You know, in business, that's a CEO, you make a decision, people follow it because you're CEO. They don't always do that in politics, even when you're a political leader and even prime minister. And, it, you know, as Labour have found, it's incredibly difficult to get things done. So, yeah, but also it's mainly that product. What is he offering New Zealanders? What's his vision? What's different? And he's preyed onto some negativity in that first speech against Labour. He needs to avoid that. He needs to just say, look, we can do something better. And this is what it is. And this is why it's good. And that needs to be for, you know, ordinary New Zealanders, not just the elite, because National were previously associated with being just for the rich. He's got a lot of work to do.
That was University of Auckland political commentator Jennifer Lees-Marshmont speaking on the new National Party leadership team of Christopher Luxon and Nicola Willis. We will have Christopher Luxon on the show later in the week or early next week to have a chat with us about his new role as the leader of the National Party, so do stay tuned in for that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.